SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here. It's hour number two of a Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie. Thank you for tuning in all around the Spiz Grizz Network. That is Sports Grid. All right, DRS, let's keep it rolling through college football. A ton to get to from this second Saturday in November. Now just two more regular season weeks left in the 2023 college football season. Washington, Donnie, stays perfect at home on Saturday against Utah. It was not easy. They were trailing at the break before the Huskies hold the Utes scoreless in the second half, and they win 35-28. They do not cover as an 8.5-point favorite, Donnie. Washington is now just 2-5 against the number in Pac-12 play, but most importantly, they survive a tough test at home. Michael Penix Jr. throws for over 330 yards, and Washington improves to 10-0. They are in the driver's seat, Donnie, in the Pac-12.
Loved what I saw out of the Washington defense in the second half. Shutout in the third quarter, shutout in the fourth quarter. That's how you win football games. Not everything has to be 55-35 where you easily run away with a football game. One thing was in Utah's favor a little bit, some windier conditions out there on the West Coast, but Washington hung in there. Penix, 332 and two touchdown passes. Number five overall in the country here. 10-0 perfect on the season, but as we know, yes, these wins are nice. And yes, it was a ranked opponent. But I think we could see the horizon coming up here where Washington's like, you know what? In order for us to really get respect, even though we already beat Oregon once, we're probably going to have to beat them twice here. So we'll see if that takes place here later on.
And let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number two of the early line on this Monday morning. He is Donnie. I am Ben. You're listening on Sirius XM channel 159 and all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. Because yes, Donnie, we are certainly on a collision course between those two border rivals. It was Washington winning by three at home earlier this year in the regular season. They will play each other on a neutral site in Las Vegas in that opening weekend of December for a Pac-12 championship. At least that's where the league stands right now, because Oregon, their only loss this year against Washington. Other than that, a perfect 9-0, including a victory at home late night on Saturday inside Autzen Stadium against USC. Now, the Ducks were a 15.5-point favorite, a ridiculously large number against the Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley-led USC team. Oregon, though, does win at home 36-27, and that bodacious Heisman campaign grows even louder. 412 yards for Bo Nix against this terrible USC defense. Four passing scores. He is the Heisman Trophy odds-on favorite now, Donnie, as Oregon wins 36-27.
I guess firing the coordinator did work, at least in my eyes. I thought Oregon was primed to hang a 50 spot on USC. So maybe, hey, okay, only 36 points, that grounds into it here. But an equal scoring attack there, including touchdowns in the third quarter and the fourth quarter by the Oregon Ducks. But the bigger picture is here. We know Bo Nix is good. We know Oregon is really good. And they'll get their chance for a little bit of payback on Washington, where, as you said, don't have to play them at Husky Stadium, neutral environment. We'll see if we can perform. But the bigger question marks now come up on USC. A generational quarterback at the helm now with four losses, okay, and the season isn't even over yet. And also the questions now will start to say, is Caleb Williams just going to do the smart thing for his future? Hey, coach, got me as far as we can. I'm healthy. I'm going to be the number one overall pick. Let me just get started on my pro career. And if you're Lincoln Riley, it's probably not a bad thing right now, because what do you sell to the next players below you? Hey, look, step up here. This guy's going pro. He's going to be the number one overall pick. He already won a Heisman Trophy. And you go into the living rooms of parents and sell them on, like, hey, I'm doing the best thing in his interest. You don't think I want Caleb here for the bowl games and the final two games of the season? I told him, go pro. My job is to make your son into a professional quarterback and get him paid. And that goes a long way here. I want to see what happens here with Caleb Williams down the stretch to see how much longer he does play. Because for me right now, I wouldn't take it as a slight. Would you not draft Caleb Williams because he's like, you know what? Our season is done. I'm ready to be a professional quarterback. Guaranteed that won't hurt the number one overall selection next year in the NFL.
Yeah. And Donnie, now it's officially done because we wanted to see what USC was going to bring into Eugene on Saturday night. Only two conference losses, despite the fact entering Saturday they had dropped three of their last four. Now they've lost four of their last five. Three conference losses, virtually eliminated from Pac-12 championship contention. That man on your screen, Bodacious Bo Nix, the Heisman frontrunner now against the reigning Heisman winner in Caleb Williams. Minus 110 for Bo Nix, despite Michael Penix Jr. throwing for more than 330 yards against Utah. It's the two best prices to win the Heisman Trophy from the Pac-12 Conference. Bo Nix at front, minus 110. Michael Penix Jr. actually moving back a little bit on this Monday morning at 4-1 because Jaden Daniels, the quarterback for LSU, is just putting up such ridiculous numbers. He had 372 passing yards, three passing scores against Florida in a 52-35 victory in Death Valley for the Bayou Bengals. He also ran for 234 and two touchdowns. That was a ton of offense, Donnie Wrightside. There wasn't a ton of offense inside Kinnick Stadium on Saturday afternoon. History in Iowa City. For the first time ever, Donnie, since these numbers began being tracked back in 1995, an FBS college football game between Iowa and Rutgers featured a total less than 30 points. The lowest ever FBS total in the history of college football, 27.5 was that over under between the Hawkeyes and the Scarlet Knights, and it stays under 22-0, the victory for Kirk Ferentz and Iowa. They are 8-2 this year, Donnie Wrightside. They're the only team in the Big Ten West with a positive point differential, and pay Phil Parker, the defensive coordinator, who is the best in all of college football, all the money in the world. Don't even hire an OC in Iowa City. Just give that would-be salary to Phil Parker. The Hawkeyes defense just pitched a shutout, Donnie, in three of their last 21 FBS games. They get the win at home on Saturday, again, in historic fashion with the lowest ever FBS total. And, of course, it stays under.
Yeah, Iowa could have Matt Patricia calling plays at this point. It really doesn't matter because if your defense is going to keep the other opponent to 0 points, yeah, you're going to win a lot of football games here in college football. But also, you take a look at Rutgers. I guess Greg Schiano is the ultimate magician. With that offense, I have no idea how they're even bowl eligible at this point. Wimsatt, a quarterback, is basically a running back. They can't throw the football forward. You saw it the weeks previous there against good defenses. They just can't move it. But I guess it's a good season for Rutgers overall. And by the way, let me just get back to that LSU point. What Daniels is doing, it's so eye-opening at this point because we do think Caleb is going to be the number one overall pick, the USC quarterback. But the more I watch LSU, there's some things you can't teach. And for a kid to throw for 372 and three scores, yeah, that's fantastic and great. But the way he's running the football, and I'm not talking about seven carries for 68 yards and two touchdowns. To be an SEC defense, Ben, and run the ball 12 times for 234 and two scores as a quarterback here, that's something that you look at on the next level going like, this might be unstoppable here. I'm so impressed with that kid.
The one thing he can't do, Donnie, is play defense. But if he could, this LSU conversation would be very different, and it'd be Jaden Daniels as the favorite to win a Heisman Trophy. Yep. Our weekend winners and losers with some more college football scores mixed in. Up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More scores around the country in college football. Always a significant Saturday in the SEC. But for two of the top teams in the country, Donnie, it was time to prove it once again. Georgia in a top 10 tilt at home between the hedges inside Sanford Stadium on Saturday night. And Georgia absolutely takes it to Ole Miss. The number two team in the country puts up 52 against an abysmal running Rebs defense, as was the expectation all week long, at least on this side of things. Georgia wins 52-17 over Ole Miss. The same conversations for James Franklin in Happy Valley are kind of those same conversations in Oxford, Mississippi for Lane Kiffin and the running Rebels. 52-17, though, Johnny. Georgia covers for just the third time this year, doing so as a 10.5-point favorite, DRS.
That was an easy victory for Georgia between the hedges here. And this is why that they're most people's number one overall team, because when you play in the SEC and you go unbeaten and you handle your business against top 10 SEC opponents, the victors go to the spoils here. Typically, 52-17, they were awesome from the start here. 28 points at the break and never looked back as they outscored Ole Miss 10-0 in the third quarter. Back 306 yards, two touchdown passes in this one. Georgia is really good. Georgia versus Alabama, two unbeaten SEC teams meeting up in the SEC championship game. This is what we wait for these big games for, because it looks like we're on a collision course.
We are certainly on track for that right now, because Alabama has just that one non-conference loss to Texas. They remain perfect in SEC play. They only have one more SEC game on the horizon, not this upcoming weekend. It's that weird non-conference FCS portion in the SEC schedule that a lot of teams like to take in their penultimate weekend of the regular season. And then the Iron Bowl in Auburn against those Tigers. But Donnie, on Saturday of this past week, it was Alabama victorious in Lexington in a big, big way. 49-21, the victory for Jalen Milroe and the Crimson Tide. Alabama also a double-digit favorite, laying 10.5 against Kentucky. They cover that number, Donnie. They have covered in all but one of their SEC games this year.
Yeah, they're really impressive now. And this is one of those teams, again, that you look at the record, 9-1, 7-0 in the conference. But like, oh, you sure Alabama didn't lose two or three games early in the season? Because they weren't playing good football. They hadn't figured out yet that Jalen Milroe was actually supposed to be their starting quarterback. And maybe the stroke of genius from Nick Saban dating back to that South Florida game in the rain where he benched him, didn't start him, and didn't bring him in when we were taking a look at some of the backup quarterbacks. Like, this is what you're running out? Maybe that was a master stroke there to say, you know what? I know there's untapped potential in Jalen Milroe. He just doesn't know what's in him yet. Let me sit him down and get him real angry and see how he fights back. He's been awesome since that game. And how about on Saturday once again? Three touchdown passes, three on the ground as well. Six combined touchdowns for Milroe. That's impressive here. Kentucky's not a bad football team overall. They're just in the SEC, and you got to go up against those Tides each and every week, which includes the Alabama Crimson Tide here. But I'm excited about this. Here's what's going to be the debate in the upcoming weeks here. What happens if Alabama does get to that championship game? Georgia beats them 28-27 and moves on. What are we going to do? Leave Alabama out at that point? Your record says what it is, and typically with one loss, you get the benefit in the SEC. But now those two losses get you the benefit in the SEC when you can actually go, we only lost one SEC game. It was to the best team in the country by 1 point on a neutral field. We'll see about that at the end of the season.
Donnie, that nightmare scenario might be brewing for the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. We got the third set of rankings released tomorrow night. But if Alabama is a one-loss team that beats Georgia in an SEC title game, handing the Bulldogs their only loss of the season, but the conference championship is with Alabama, which team do you send to the College Football Playoff? Maybe both. But what if you have a one-loss Pac-12 champion, either Washington or Oregon? It could be an undefeated Pac-12 champion for the Huskies. What about an undefeated Big Ten champion? We are certainly on path for that as well between Ohio State and Michigan. A undefeated ACC champ? That could be Florida State, Donnie. They're a perfect 10-0. They are 8-0 in conference play as the Noles get a victory at home 27-20 over the Miami Hurricanes. Now, they don't cover as a double-digit favorite, but Donnie, for Florida State at this moment, it's just stay perfect, win out, win a conference championship. You're playing in the College Football Playoff.
Yeah, it is. And maybe they're a little bit bored, too. And you might say, well, Donnie, how could they be bored going up against their, you know, hated rivals in Miami? Miami's not a great football team. They showed that time and time again, starting young, you know, non-redshirt freshmen in a big game against a quarterback that's had basically 100 ACC games, it feels like, in Jordan Travis. But the interesting part about Florida State is they have so much talent and NFL talent across the field. But I still get a kick out of this. When you watch offenses operate, and I go, it's not fair sometimes. Like, you watch Oregon, right? He's precision passing game, dot in the eyes. You watch Michael Penix out there for Washington getting busy. You also watch an Alabama team that has an exciting quarterback that's able to run around, Jaden Daniels. And I watch Florida State, and their offense basically is snap the ball. It's almost like if you had a fourth grade with your friends out on the lot. Hey, guys, what do you want to do? I'm just going to run deep every play. Just throw me a jump ball and we'll have some fun and do it. That's Florida State's offense, which hasn't gotten them in any trouble because they're so much more talented than every single team they play. I can't wait till they go up against a legitimate contender here that's going to say, look, you're actually going to have to do something on offense, not run jump balls to your 6'9 wide receivers down the field. That's what I'm waiting on. But you can't fault Florida State, as we said. They're the best team by far in the ACC. Just don't get bored and lose a game you shouldn't lose, and you'll wind up undefeated at the end of the season as the ACC champion, and playing for a college football championship.
Jordan Travis, 19 of 31 for 265 and a passing touchdown to Keon Coleman, who can go up and get any ball, as can Johnny Wilson, both of the wideouts for Florida State, back and healthy on Saturday against the Hurricanes. Now, listen, Florida State took care of business in the opening month of the season, but that pretty much was their season. The win over LSU on Labor Day Sunday, the opening weekend of this college football year, and then, of course, on the road in Death Valley against Clemson. That was what Florida State needed to do. It took advantage of a bad Duke team without Riley Leonard, or an unhealthy Duke team, I should say, without Riley Leonard in that fourth and final quarter. They handled Miami at home, as was expected. Now, Donnie, more than likely, they will take on Louisville in an ACC championship game. The Cardinals remain with only one loss this year. Florida State already in the early hypothetical lines near a double-digit favorite. Ohio State running its course as well, a perfect 10-0, 7-0 in Big Ten play, a 35-point win inside the shoe on Saturday night against Michigan State. Ohio State covering, Donnie, as a 31.5-point favorite, setting us on a path for what is going to more than likely be an undefeated showdown in the game. With everything that has happened, Donnie, between Ohio State and Michigan and the vitriol those two teams, programs, and fan bases have toward one another, mixed in with the entire Michigan sign-stealing scandal and the rumors about Ryan Day and Ohio State's involvement, we are going to have the most hatred you have ever seen in the game that final weekend of the regular season, the Saturday following Thanksgiving. The game, Donnie, in the Big House. It will be played in Ann Arbor. It is probably going to be a top three showdown, and it is going to be for all the marbles in the Big Ten once again.
Yeah, we've seen that before. I think it was, I want to say maybe 2005, 2006, in that range where both of those teams met undefeated at the end of the season, like those Mike Hart, Michigan teams here. That's going to be an unbelievable game to watch, because when you're taking a look at true Big Ten football, I think both Michigan and Ohio State epitomize that. Getting back to the basics, right? Playing unbelievably bone-crunching defense, but also have some talent on offense to open up the show. Something's got to give in that football game, and then also the questions will come in. Hey, is it a one-loss team that should get in over a two-loss Alabama, or is it basically saying, like, yeah, you guys played one game this year, we're not going to give you the benefit of that, of losing the only big game that you actually had? It'll be fun to watch you play out, but Ben, it is going to play out, and that's the good thing.
Yep, and that's the beautiful, beautiful thing. Just two weekends away before we get to the game to end out the regular season in Big Ten play. All right, we'll give you our weekend winners and losers on the other side of the break, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I'll start with a former Ohio State quarterback. We'll talk about it next here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Weekend winners and losers, live right here on a Monday on the Early Line. And listen, I know where Donnie Wrightside is going to start things off. I disagree. The man that Donnie Wrightside will name his number one winner is actually my third loser, but I can't wait for the spin zone, DRS. So start with your first winner of this past weekend.
It's easy. It's really easy. And it's James Franklin, the biggest winner in college football. Now, let me preface this, because there is a little bit of sarcasm behind this, because obviously he's a big game loser. But in the grand scheme of things, Ben, like, how do you win in life? It's the measure of your bank account for the how much you have to actually work towards building that bank account. And if you have an adoring fan base, then no matter what happens to you, win or lose big games, they love you and they'll give you extensions here. Because quite frankly, you know where Jimbo Fisher erred here? He's going to get a $76 million payout here for getting fired from Texas A&M. But Texas A&M is like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're the head coach here. You're in a major conference. We pay you a lot of money. We expect results. And if we don't get those results, you're out of here. When Jimbo Fisher, if he coached in Penn State, would have another $76 million extension tacked on because of how well the football team plays without winning anything at any time. He is the big winner because, again, Ben, it's not about winning national championships. If you can walk around State College, Pennsylvania as a king on the hill, despite never winning a big game that anybody anticipates, what's the expectations next year? So in the offseason, you take a look and say to yourself, James Franklin, how can we improve the football team? He goes, why do we have to improve? Every year I get a raise. Every year we don't even have to win big games. Heck, guys, we could take a vacation when we play Michigan, Ohio State, and sooner or later USC. And if we lose those games, they're like, hey, man, it's Happy Valley. Let's go down to the Creamery and have a little Paterno Peach and enjoy the evening here. It's a wonderful night in Happy Valley. Look at Nittany Mountain off in the background or whatever they call it here. James Franklin is the biggest winner in life, and every single time he gets an extension for losing, that's life, man. He won the game already, Ben.
Maybe James Franklin does get another extension out of the fear that he might leave for College Station, Texas, to take over as A&M's head coach. Because if we're talking big weekend winners, then it is Jimbo Fisher. In life, if you can be one thing and you want to succeed and get ahead in your profession, it is not being a doctor, it is not being an attorney, it is not being a scientist, it is being a fired head football coach, because Jimbo Fisher is going to make $76 million for being bad at his job. He was fired yesterday by Texas A&M after a 45-25 record over the past six seasons. And his team put up 40 and won in a big way against Mississippi State on Saturday night. But the expectation in A&M is different. National championships are expected, even though they've been much farther away from being a national title contention than that of Penn State in recent years. And Donnie, there's a difference, though, just as we compare James Franklin to Jimbo Fisher. James Franklin and Penn State have won 11 games in four of the last 7 years. Jimbo never won more than eight in a regular season. Now, with that being said, there are certainly questions about James Franklin elevating this Penn State football program to a higher level. It's why he's one of my losers of this weekend. He is 4-16 against Michigan and Ohio State in his now decade as the head coach in Happy Valley. He is 3-17 against AP top 10 foes. He is 1-12 against AP top 5 teams. There is a ceiling in State College. It's all about if that ceiling is good enough. Donnie, there's only about 8 to 10 programs that are realistically in the national championship conversation each and every year, and Penn State really hovers on that border. If you want to win the big one, you need to elevate your program past the two teams standing in your way. Penn State and James Franklin have failed to do that at this moment. Also, Mike Yurcich, the offensive coordinator in Happy Valley, fired yesterday. That's the fifth offensive coordinator in 10 years for James Franklin. Hot dog costume meme. We're all looking for the guy who did this. Just saying, there's a certain ceiling right now in Happy Valley. DRS, my first winner of the weekend is a guy we've discussed already, a former Big Ten quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Listen, they have already engraved his name now. If they started engraving it last week, it is done. At a minus 2,000 price to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, C.J. Stroud's name is on the trophy. But it's not just Offensive Rookie of the Year anymore, Donnie. It's in the MVP conversation. If the Texans are a playoff team, C.J. Stroud better be a finalist for the Most Valuable Player Award. Top 10 in terms of QBR, passer rating, passing yards, passing touchdowns. Only two interceptions this year as an NFL quarterback. Again, I think if it was year three and the Texans were slightly better, C.J. Stroud would have one of the five best prices to win the MVP award. At least, Donnie, it's now 30-1. Because at this point last week, it was 130-1. C.J. Stroud is a legitimate, and I mean very legitimate, MVP contender.
Well, we'll see coming up, because the superstar elite MVP caliber quarterbacks haven't played all that dominating football. Now, there's going to be a lot of big games coming up, which includes if Patrick Mahomes slices and dices the Philadelphia Eagles on a Monday night game, he'll move to a minus 100 or better favorite to win the MVP at that point. But that's not knocking anything C.J. Stroud has done wrong. He's been wonderful here. And the questions of, should he have been the top overall pick last year in the draft? Apparently so. The moxie on this young kid, and also fighting all those stigmas here coming in. Hey, look, you run an offense where you clap three times and look to the sideline, and the coach reads the defense for you, and then you go out and play paint by numbers, gives the best wide receivers in football. We're not seeing that now. He didn't come in and say, well, hey, everybody would have a great win. He's got Julio Jones in his prime along with Andre Johnson and Jerry Rice. No, he doesn't. Tank Dell is his wide receiver. Nico Collins, Brown. I mean, come on now. He's been absolutely sensational. So if you'd have him as a winner of the week after that performance, going on the road, playing one of the hotter teams in football in their own building and leading a scoring drive at the end of the football game after he threw a terrible interception, love everything about the kid here. Well deserving of a winner of the week tag.
Donnie Wrightside, your final two winners of the week are who as we fire through this list?
We'll keep it simple. Like the Josh Dobbs, you are like the definition of a winner. If you type in right now on Google, winner, Dobbs's face appears because the guy can do it all. You can fly him in an afternoon, give him the playbook, and he will show up at night and win you a football game. The definition of a winner. This guy went to Tennessee last year, like 48 hours, and was inserted and played decent football. He went to the Arizona Cardinals, one of those untalented teams in the NFL, and was serviceable enough to be traded to a playoff contender that goes, hey, Josh, let's just see what you have. Yeah, that's two straight victories for him right on his shoulders. Love the fact that he's definitely a winner of the week in my book, and also the Detroit Lions. Welcome to the party, Detroit. Welcome into the party of, yes, if things go your way, how about this, Ben? You could have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and it runs through Detroit in that dome, and it's going to be a wild scene. And that team is as talented as any on offense right now. Detroit, as I said again, welcome in. I'm believing in you now.
Yeah, absolutely so, Donnie. Detroit passes litmus tests each and every week, but they might not run away with the division as we once expected because the Minnesota Vikings have won five straight games, including both with Joshua Dobbs as their main quarterback. Again, didn't get the start after being traded 4 days earlier to Minneapolis in the Vikings game last weekend against the Falcons, but after Jaren Hall was injured and in concussion protocol early, he took over, led them to a come-from-behind victory. Donnie, my final two winners of the weekend, Bo Nix and Iowa, the university, because of their football program, winning 8 of 10 games in the history that we saw at Kinnick Stadium, the lowest ever FBS total of 27.5 against Rutgers that still stayed under, and their women's basketball program off to a perfect 3-0 start this year, including a top 10 win against Virginia Tech that we broke down on Friday morning, with LSU losing and UConn losing yesterday, Donnie, against NC State. Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes are going to be number one in the country, I would expect, when the new AP poll comes out later this afternoon. Their first time ranked number one in the country since 1988. And Bo Nix, Donnie, in my estimation, if Oregon wins the Pac-12, is going to win the Heisman Trophy. Jaden Daniels is going to be there. Michael Penix Jr. is going to be a finalist as well. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. might make his way to New York City in that group as well. But Bo Nix and what he is doing this year after 412 passing yards and four touchdowns against USC should be the odds-on Heisman favorite. I believe he's going to win the award.
Yeah, he is playing for wins, but he should be playing for clicks as well, like getting that appearance fee there for winding up at the Touchdown Club in downtown New York City and getting that award. He's got a lot of big football games to play, but he's been absolutely sensational. You want to talk about a guy that can win with his legs and also an elite arm and accurate arm? Yeah, Bo Nix is certainly delivering there on the biggest stage. And also, as we let things play out, a couple more weeks, man, we're going to have some unbelievable college football games at the highest stakes here. But they said, Ben, well, if you expand the playoff to four teams, the regular season is going to be meaningless, you idiots.
In fact, it might be more meaningful if you had some of these teams still in consideration, but conference championship weekend might actually serve as that first leg of the CFP playoffs. DRS, as we go through our losers of the weekend, I'll get it started. The Falcons stink, man. They're 1-4 on the road. They have no direction as an organization. They are the worst cover team in the National Football League at 2-8 against the spread. They have lost four of their last five after they started off the year, Donnie, a perfect 2-0 and winning three of their first five games. They are now just 4-0 and six. Everybody, Donnie, was so excited by the Dirty Birds this year because of all the talent offensively. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. They were going to go over 8.5 wins. They were going to contend for the NFC South, and they still might because the division stinks as well. But, Donnie, my skepticism was who was going to play quarterback, and we have seen that. Desmond Ridder benched for Taylor Heineke, who was injured / benched in the fourth quarter yesterday in the desert, and the Cardinals get their second win of the year against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll come back for more losers of the weekend. You'll hear from Donnie. You'll hear a few more from me. And then we'll preview the finale of this Week 10 slate around the National Football League, a Monday night in Western New York between the Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos. That's to come your way. Up next, live right here on the Early Line after the break here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on this Monday, some weekend losers, which is a category you never want to be a part of, and then a preview of the final game of week number 10 of this NFL regular season, Western New York, a Monday night in Buffalo. It's the Bills and the Broncos. All right, DRS, I gave you my first loser of the weekend, the Atlanta Falcons. Who tops your list?
Look, I sent out a meme this morning, and I use it in a positive light here to say, you know, really good quarterback play out of Josh Dobbs. And as Shaquille O'Neal would say, I apologize, man. I was unfamiliar with your game. Like, I shouldn't have judged you so harshly that you wouldn't make an impact on the Minnesota Vikings, and rightfully so. Now, flip it over to my loser of the week, a guy that I love. I thought he was a fantastic coach. I said to myself, oh, no. The Giants got a really good football coach now. They might be a player in the NFC in a couple years here because Brian Daboll's going to turn that football program around. And by the way, watching Sunday as getting lit up like a Christmas tree before Thanksgiving break, I said, what is going on the sidelines? And every time they showed Daboll, he looked bewildered on the sideline, like just praying that they would put him out of his misery and say, just fire me at the half. How did it get so bad for the New York Giants, who last year overachieved, which is a direct response to how good you're supposed to be as a coach? Wow, the Giants made the playoffs and won a playoff game last year? The sky is the limit. But you know where the cracks in the foundations started for me from the New York Giants? And I said, you know what? Dable's a really good coach. He's not stupid enough to bring back Daniel Jones. He got so much out of Daniel Jones last year that it was a miracle that they won that many football games. And I said, watch out. Because Dable's going to be smart enough to convince that organization to move on from Daniel Jones and get his quarterback of choice, and away they go for the Giants. But he wasn't. He was stupid enough to ride on that train with Daniel Jones, who now looks like he's not only out for the rest of this year, could possibly be for the half of next year. The most untalented roster in the NFL resides for the New York Giants, who have nothing at wide receiver, a broken down tight end, a horrendously bad offensive line, an embarrassing defense that also goes on with your head coach and say, hey, man, we got Wink Martindale, man. He's just legit on defense. Yeah, he was real legit again yesterday, giving up close to 50 points when you had Cooper Rush and Rico Dowdle running wild on your team yesterday. It's a disaster in New York, and the number one culprit is your head coach, which allowed it to happen. I loved you, Brian Daboll. I thought it was a wonderful signing. I couldn't be more wrong. And if you are the Giants, who have no future now, and guess what? Here's what's coming up next, too. Let me just hear some more of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the general manager, going, Saquon's big part of our future. Congratulations, Giants. You might have just sealed your fate for another 5 years. Daboll, loser of the week. Horrendous organization, and he's the head guy.
The NFL coach of the year, who led his team in his rookie year as the head man for the G-men to a road playoff win. Now, Brian Daboll nor Joe Shane, the general manager now for New York, were responsible for selecting Saquon Barkley second overall or Daniel Jones with a top 10 pick. But they backed themselves into a corner to allow Daniel Jones to be the face of their franchise for this year and next year. At least, Donnie, the good thing that Joe Shane did was structure the deal that they can get out of it based on guaranteed money following 2024. But I think the issue, Donnie, the Giants are going to have as an organization is there is no clear end in sight. Not this year, with Daniel Jones out for the remainder of the season, and who knows when Tyrod Taylor is going to come back. That means the young Tommy DeVito, who is certainly not of the level of a starting quarterback in the National Football League, is going to be your starter, or they're going to hire or sign somebody off the street. They have no other option at this point. So you can throw out everything that is going to happen in 2023, and for the most part, you can throw out everything that's going to happen in 2024. They're going to draft somebody, would be my expectation, Donnie, is what in what is going to be a rich quarterback class. And I don't think we're going to see Daniel Jones until the middle of the year. He might have already taken his last snap for the New York Giants, but the investment in him does put the Giants behind the eight ball. What is the future for Saquon Barkley with this Giants organization? Many questions for this Giants team that, Donnie, I think are going to be a detriment to the franchise overall until about 2025. Not where you want to be with a rookie head coach in Brian Daboll and a second-year general manager in Joe Shane. The Mara family has a lot to answer here moving forward. All right, DRS, my second loser of the weekend is a person in ownership. It's Steve Ballmer. He can try however strong he wants, Donnie, however hard he wants to make the Clippers a true winning franchise in Los Angeles. It's not going to happen. And bringing in James Harden has been an unmitigated disaster to start off. They have lost all four games that Harden has played with the Clippers. They have not covered in any of those four. They have lost five as a franchise. And Donnie, I don't think you or I believe that bringing in James Harden was going to help LA, but the odds did. They were 27-1 to win the NBA championship. Take that price down by more than half, 13-1 after that James Harden deal. I know it's regular season basketball, but what in the postseason makes you believe James Harden is going to lead you to series victories? What about seeing Kawhi Leonard or Paul George play together the last few seasons in LA is going to change anything for this Clippers franchise? They are trying, Donnie, with this Clips organization. It's not working, and it's going to be a really bad recipe, I think, the remainder of this year. James Harden on Sunday, by the way, losing to the Memphis Grizzlies, who's one of the worst teams so far without Ja Morant in the Western Conference, had 11 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and the worst plus-minus of the entire game at minus 28.
By the way, it's a great look you have, too, because it's sort of like, okay, we're not going to blame James Harden. We're going to blame the organizations that continue to bring him in and think there's going to be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But I love the fact that you chose Steve Ballmer here, because look at his background, right? More money than anything. He looks like he's a fan and he loves it, but also, you were CEO at Microsoft, which, what are we always worried about in the computer industry here? Antiviruses getting to computers here. You basically went out and got malware and put it right on your team here just to destroy it in James Harden, a guy that should know about cybersecurity and not letting the bad guys in on a sneak attack. He was like the Trojan horse coming in the middle of the night and just opening up and saying, hey, James Harden is here to destroy the foundation and the fabric of our team. Now, granted, they still have a lot of talent. There's a long way to go. Could they meld? But my goodness, for the people that look at James Harden and go, well, okay, he tried like a dozen organizations, it feels like now, and nothing has worked. What's going to be different here for the Clippers? Absolutely nothing. That's what's different.
Yep. And that's the story in LA for that Clippers franchise. All right, Donnie, your final two losers of the weekend are who?
Coach, how about this? All three coaches here that I have for losers, all in the NFL. Number two on my list is going to be Brandon Staley. We've talked about it ad nauseum here. He's just not the right head coach for this football team here. You just got to get somebody who's going to light a fire under the defense to actually make some stops. This isn't one of those teams like, hey, man, we didn't spend any money. We have the lowest payroll in the league. What do you want him to do? No, you're in Los Angeles with one of the best and youngest talented quarterbacks in the NFL on a big contract, an offense that can move the football. But your defense, you're a defensive coordinator, that's where you made your bones, is absolutely terrible. I'll move on to number three. It's Bill Belichick here. We were hearing reports, Ben, on Sunday that if they lost to the Indianapolis Colts, that he would be fired. Now, granted, he wasn't fired, so obviously those stories were fake. But what is the future here for the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick? It doesn't work. He doesn't like Mac Jones. Mac Jones doesn't like him. And I love the fact that there's now competing stories coming out like, oh, well, Mac Jones is a diva. He doesn't actually want to be coached. What, you didn't know that for the past couple years already, but now all of a sudden Mac Jones is the issue when you surround him with absolutely no talent? Now, shout out Zeke Elliott, who's going to pass over his 350.5-yard rushing prop here on the season. And that's the only good thing coming out of the New England Patriots for your boy DRS here, cashing a ticket there. But Bill Belichick, the coach, isn't even as bad as Bill Belichick, the general manager. He's the loser of the week. Why? Because that team is a straight up loser. And get used to New England. All those years that you had Tom Brady, it was so much fun to play football. Sometimes it comes around and gets you back. This is going to be a long, dark winter for the New England Patriots. Because even if they fire Belichick, where are you going from here? You got no quarterback. You got no talent. Sometimes it feels good. All of those seasons to root against New England. Now finally can sit back, have a glass and say, you know what? New England stinks. And Bill Belichick is the reason why.
The Patriots have the worst record at 2-8 in all of the AFC. I don't think we've ever said that during Bill Belichick's 20-plus years in Foxborough. They are also 2-8 against the spread. They have not covered in any of their eight losses throughout this NFL season in 2023. Donnie, I think Bill Belichick should remain the head coach in New England, but Robert Kraft has to find a new general manager. This is the direct development of Bill Belichick being a terrible GM. The roster that has been constructed is Belichick's fault, and he can't coach him right now because they have a downgrade in talent. Bill O'Brien, by the way, seems like he's having a miserable time trying to make Mac Jones a suitable starting quarterback in the National Football League. 10-6, the game yesterday in Frankfurt, another under. Donnie, last night in Las Vegas, the Raiders win 16-12. Zach Wilson, a costly interception as the Jets were driving into Raiders territory down by four, trying to win the game. The Raiders with Antonio Pierce as their interim head coach, a perfect 2-0. The Jets have dropped two straight. I bring that up, Donnie, not to really highlight the game because it wasn't all that sensational and probably doesn't mean all that much, despite the fact Las Vegas, the second best record in the AFC West at an even 500, 5-5. But yet again, in primetime game number 31 of this 2023 NFL season, 16-12, the final, a small total of only 36.5 still stays under. In the finale of week number 10, a Monday night in primetime in Orchard Park, it's Buffalo and Denver. Donnie, the total 47.5 between the Bills and the Broncos. Buffalo booked as a touchdown favorite at home. Donnie, what are your initial thoughts to this Monday night football game?
Watch out, Buffalo. They haven't played all that well. And you take a look at the Denver Broncos, who had a disastrous season. But hey, you know who's in their back rearview mirror? Like, oh, yeah, look at that. We beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So who are you, Buffalo Bills, at this point here? I think we do get points tonight. And for more of a structure, do I think both of these teams should be able to attack the defenses? Absolutely. But maybe the running game for the Denver Broncos is something to focus on going up against the Denver, going up against the Buffalo Bills to sure to keep that offense on the sideline. Talking about Josh Allen, I do think we get points tonight, but watch, I'm telling you right now, I'm not betting the Buffalo Bills. I'm done with that. Over a touchdown, they don't deserve it here, even if it is the Broncos. But by the way, the Broncos, as I said, playing much better football as of late.
The Broncos have won two straight, Donnie, and they have covered in both of those wins as a slight favorite against Green Bay and as an underdog outright against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos fresh off the bye, an extended bye with this Monday night football game in Western New York as well. The Bills were an underdog on Sunday night in Cincinnati, but in the first eight games booked as the favorite. Donnie, Buffalo has been booked as a touchdown or more favorite four times this year. They're just 1-3. Against the spread. They have not covered in their last three as more than a touchdown favorite. They did cover and win week number two against the Las Vegas Raiders. Donnie, when I look at this football game, I focus on the ground as well for the Denver Broncos and Javonte Williams, who in the two wins for Denver has really led the way. 82 rushing yards against the Packers, 85 rushing yards on 27 carries against the Kansas City Chiefs. Buffalo is bottom half of the NFL. They allow about 114 yards per game on the ground, and that includes only allowing 54 last week in Cincinnati against the Bengals. I think if Denver keeps this game even near that touchdown margin, Javonte Williams plays a big part. We'll look at this game from the public perspective coming up next. More of a preview into hour number three as well. The prop perspective, the injury perspective all around the National Football League. A ton still to go here as we end out week number 10 of this NFL season around the National Football League. Come back and join us on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, we end out hour number two on this Monday. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and of course, it is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. You scan the QR code on your screen, all of our insight and information in the palm of your hand. All right, Donnie, one final game, week number 10 of this NFL regular season, a Monday night in Western New York between Buffalo and Denver. What is the best bet? That's what we had to ask the people out there. It's time for Fade the Public. The Bills at home, a touchdown favorite. Is it Buffalo minus 7? Is it Denver as the underdog? Is it the over of 47.5? Or will we see the primetime trend continue around the National Football League? 24 of 31 NFL primetime games now this season, Donnie, hitting the under. The public thinking pretty fondly of the under tonight, under 47.5. It's the second most selected option. The Bills laying a touchdown has the most votes at this moment, but followed closely by the Broncos as the underdog. Not many people believing we see a ton of points, though, tonight, Donnie, over 47.5.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually going to buck that trend. I do think we get some points tonight because I do think the Buffalo Bills were able to score against Denver, and Denver's actually got a better offense than what we've technically been seeing over the first half of the season. But also a belief in, hey, look, it's not a disaster. We didn't fire sale our entire football team at the deadline here. We've had some time to come together, and I'm going to take that +7 here as a side here for the Denver Broncos. But a total for myself, I see the under 47.5 getting a lot of love. I actually think we get points tonight. So if it's for me, I'm going to take the Broncos getting 7 points and the over 47.5. But my vote in this went to the Broncos at +7, slightly off of what the people are believing here are the Buffalo Bills at 30% as the favorite in the clubhouse.
Listen, a lot of people thought we were watching a lot of bad football in the first half of this NFL 2023 season. Thursday night didn't really change any minds between the Bears and the Panthers. But Donnie, we saw a ton of overs yesterday, at least in comparison to the opening half of this NFL season. Might that continue on Monday night? We'll talk about it in 55 seconds when hour three starts.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.